while Ardsale Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
Good morning, church. It's wonderful to see you again at the house of God. Greetings. I don't know whether the media team could put up for me the synopsis. I'm going to leave it up there while I speak with you. God is good, isn't he? And it's good to be in this time of the year when we are celebrating his goodness, his mercies, and his grace. And today is really all about the Christian life, because Simeon's story is our story. And so today, as we share together and reflect together, let us remember that Jesus is Lord, and he's no more a baby in the manger, but he's now sitting at the right hand of God, making intercession for us. Amen? Right, so just let's go to the synopsis again. Lillian has kindly broken it down, and I'm just going to go into some more detail about this. So, the synopsis says, through looking at Simeon, a key character in the Christmas story, we better understand that whether we see Jesus is certain, when we will see Jesus is not. Let us be careful how we live until that time. Amen? So the whole point of the Christian life is to see Jesus. Our journey is a journey that we're taking, and at the end of that journey, we will see Jesus. But that is all dependent on what we do in our lives as Christians. Amen? So Simeon, the last character in the Christmas story. It's very interesting because Luke didn't say very much about Simeon's background. So we don't know anything about his lineage. We don't know whether lineage was part of Christ or not. All we know, according to Luke, is that he lived in Jerusalem. He was a devout man. He was righteous. And he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And that the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he seen the Lord Christ. We look at that in some more detail later on. So Luke's record is silent about the age of Simeon at this point. Though it is assumed that he was an old man, and we will see that coming through later. And he was, he was elderly, he was aged. We know nothing about him, as I said before. But the question that came up for me is, how did he receive the message from the Holy Spirit? Under what circumstances did he receive that message? So I did a little bit of digging, as you do, because I suspected that there had to be something more about him than Luke recorded at the time. And I discovered that there was an Orthodox tradition about Simeon, and this Simeon, because apparently in the Bible there is about 71 people named Simeon, and in the New Testament alone there are 8 Simeons. So we're talking about a particular Simeon at this time, yeah? This Simeon who received a message from God. about the coming of the Messiah into the world. And this is how the story goes. Ancient historians tell us that the Egyptian pharaoh, Ptolemy II Philadelphus, who reigned between 285 to 247 BC, wished to include texts of holy scriptures in the famous library in Alexandria in Greece. He invited scholars from Jerusalem, and the Sanhedrin sent their wise men. The righteous Simeon was one of the 70 scholars who came to Alexandria to translate the holy scriptures into Greek. The complete work was called Septuagint, and we often come across this, especially those of us who are Bible scholars, and it's the translation of the scriptures from Hebrew to Greek. And that version is used really quite a lot in the Orthodox Church, and we Christians use that version in the Old Testament today. So Saint Simeon, as they named him, on translating a book of Isaiah, which Lillian read to us, Isaiah 7:14, which read, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive in the womb and shall bring forth a son." Simeon thought that the word virgin was inaccurate, and he wanted to correct the text to read a young woman would conceive rather than a virgin, due to his disbelief, because he could not conceive that. He could not understand why a virgin would conceive. At that moment, an angel appeared to him and held back his hand, saying, "You shall see these words. You shall not die until you behold Christ the Lord, born of a pure and spotless virgin," and told him he would live to see the fulfillment of this prophecy. So from that day, the story goes, Saint Simeon lived in expectation of the promise of the Messiah. So we don't know how accurate, because the Bible says the Holy Spirit was upon him. But, you know, part of this seems credible. How credible? We would have to do more research to find out. So when the Bible talked about Simeon, this important character in the Christmas story, for whom there was no history of his family or his lineage, nor was he found to be in Jesus' lineage in Matthew. So Luke described him as somebody who lived in Jerusalem, and this was during the Roman occupation. He was a devout man, which means he was deeply committed to his religious duties or to listening and hearing from God. He would have been sincere in his actions, and this speaks to his relationship with God. He worshipped God, served God, he praised to God. God meant everything to him. He was totally devoted to God. Luke also described him as a righteous man who was waiting to see Christ before he died. And he would have acted in accordance with divine and moral laws, free from sin and guilt. This speaks to his relationship with other people. He was a man of integrity and character. He did what was right. Righteousness. He could be trusted and could be seen as a friend. Luke says he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was waiting for the comforter of Israel, the consoler of Israel. Remember, this was a time in which the Roman occupied Jerusalem. So it would be a time of terrible persecution for the Israelites by the Romans. They were very strict, and there were things that they could not do under their occupation. But this speaks to his hope, Simeon's hope and his confidence for life and death. He was looking and waiting for the one whom all of the Old Testament scriptures point to. He was waiting for the promised one, the consoler of Israel, the comforter for Israel. And Luke tells us the Holy Spirit was on him. He had the presence of the Holy Spirit with him wherever he went. The presence of God rested upon him always. There was something that marked him out for a purpose as a person who walked closely with God. The Holy Spirit was upon him, and he was waiting for the Lord Christ, or to see him before he died. And, you know, here we see that there is a revelation, isn't there? The Holy Spirit revealed to him, revealed that he won't die until he met with Jesus. So here we see the work of the Holy Spirit, very profound. Because Luke tells us he brought Simeon to the temple the same day that Mary and Joseph arrived at this center of religion, where all the other priests and rituals took place. Simeon came to meet and to bless the infant Jesus. No one else knew, except Simeon, that in Mary's arm was the Son of God. He knew this by the promise and the prompting of the Holy Spirit. So, can you imagine this man being told, you have got to go to the temple? And he followed the leading of the Holy Spirit, and it brought him to meet the Christ. When Simeon saw the child, he declared that the time has come for him to depart this life. Can you imagine this man, this elderly gentleman, taking the child from his mother Mary, holding him into his arm, looking into the eyes of the Savior, and declaring, Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace as you have promised. I have seen your salvation, Jesus, the salvation of humanity. I have seen him as you have promised. Now I am ready to go, because your promise has been fulfilled. So what does that say for us as Christians today? Are we walking in the promises of God? Do we believe the promises that God has made us? That if we walk in the way that he wants us to walk, in the way of righteousness, and you know, this might seem like a big thing, but our righteousness comes from God. We ourselves, we are not righteous, we cannot be, but our righteousness is in God. And righteousness comes from doing what is right. Simeon did what was right. And this is what God expects of us. And this is what our Christianity teaches us, that we do that which is right. Because by doing that, we will meet Jesus. He came as the Savior of the world. And he brings peace. And if you remember in the story of the shepherds, they told the angel told them, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Christ came as the Savior, not just for the Jews, but for the Gentiles also, the Savior of the world. And whilst Simeon was praying, Mary and Joseph, they did not understand what his prayer was about. But remember, the Holy Spirit had told him that he's going to meet the Lord Christ. But his prayer was based on the revelation that God gave to him. And because of that, he was able to bless them also. Not just thank God that he's received the promise that God had given to him. And this is our duty as Christian, to believe the promises of God, because they're sure, they're right. God does not take his word back. If he promised you eternal life, that is what you will have. And so as Christian, let us remember the promises of God. Simeon went on to bless Mary and Joseph, even though they did not understand his prayer. And this is what he says in verse 34 of the scripture that was just read. 1. This child is destined to cause the falling and the rising of in Israel. And you know, these sayings were prophetic sayings because Jesus was still a baby. He hasn't grown up yet to fulfill his purpose. And though many would receive the message of Jesus, some will not believe him. You remember the Sanhedrin Council? How they tried to kill him? Oh, they would oppose everything he says. Simeon prophesied that this would happen. Jesus became a stone, as Simeon has said, that causes men to stumble and a rock that makes them to fall. And if we go to Isaiah 8:14, Luke 20:17-18, Romans 9:13, we will find it there. That they would stumble at his word. Some because disbelief and some because of opposition. Yeah. So Simeon prophesied these things about Jesus. 2, he said, and to be a sign that will be spoken against Jesus. Jesus was a sign of God for his people Israel. But he was rejected, spoken against, despised, as I said, and opposed. And 3, Simeon said, so that the thoughts of many hearts would be revealed. Meaning, those who stumble at Jesus, opposed and rejected him, will finally be shown up for what they are. They will be fully known, brought to light, exposed, because Jesus himself will be the judge. He will be sitting in the throne, on the throne of judgment, on the day, on that final day. And if we go to Romans 2:16, Acts 17:31, 2 Corinthians 5:10, we see these scriptures talk about Jesus the judge. And 4, a sword will pierce your own soul, he says to Mary. Through the Holy Spirit, Simeon could see the deep anguish that Mary will feel, and her son, as her son is rejected by the nation's leaders and ultimately crucified. Again, prophecy. Lastly, he said, this child is destined to cause the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken about, so that the thoughts of many will be revealed. Can you imagine Mary when she got to this juncture that Simeon spoke about, prophesied about, a mother standing with the other women disciples, seeing and hearing every blow of the hammer that nailed in his hand, that was nailed in his hand, that saw the sword pierce his side, her child, watching as the cross was dropped in place and the agony of that moment, looking on as he cried out to his father, "It is finished." That was the sword that was piercing his side. And so Simeon's purpose was fulfilled. He lived and he waited in patience for Christ the Lord, as he was directed by the Holy Spirit. And here we see many key things for our lives as Christian. Let us go back for a minute to the beginning of the story. We know he lived in Jerusalem. We know he was a devout man. We know he was righteous. We know he was waiting for the consolation. The Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die till he sees the Lord Christ. He was moved by the Spirit to go to the temple. But he wasn't just a righteous man. He was so called because he was right with God. So what does that tell us? In our daily walk with Christ, we have to be right with him. And the thing is, you know, what I love about this is the part that the Holy Spirit played. It was critical, it was crucial. And in the same way, we cannot live a righteous life, we cannot live a right life without the Spirit, without the Holy Spirit in our lives. We cannot do it by ourselves. So let us rely on him to take us through. So we see the promise being fulfilled. We hear about salvation and how Christ is our salvation. We hear about how he's the light and how he's the glory of Israel. We hear about blessing, as Simeon blessed Mary and Joseph. But we hear about the great prophecy of why he came into the world. And we hear about love. The story was about God's love for us, in sending his beloved Son, his only begotten, to save humanity. This demonstrates the depth of God's love for us. It wasn't, and it is, an everlasting love. This love takes us back to God, who wandered away from him. It brings us, takes us back to him. This love will fulfill the promise of eternity. Because let's face it, this is what our Christian life is about. It's about living and reigning with Christ. So let us reflect for a little bit. How can Simeon's life, his existence, through the part he played in the greatest event in human history, the coming of Jesus Christ in the world, influence where we are today? Let us allow this story to be our story, to be part of the bigger picture, to be reigning and living with Christ when the time comes. So it's a story of redemption, a story of purpose, a story of salvation. It's the love story with a difference, love without bounds, love without measure. It's a story of transformation, restoration, restitution, healing, deliverance. The story of love everlasting, the final step in our existence. And Jesus is the center of this story. We live our lives to reflect him. We must. If we cannot, then we have failed in our purpose as Christians. We must follow him in truth and in righteousness. We must be devoted to him. Because in so doing, we will see Jesus. It is guaranteed that we will see Jesus if we do according to his word. If we use Simeon as an example, a devout man whose life was all about God. And I'm sure that we today here can identify with him in so many different ways. As I said, the Simeon story should be our story. Whether it is obedience to God's words in scriptures, as Simeon was, in how we should live and conduct our lives, or whether it is living in our community, amongst our family and friends, and making sure that what they see in us is what Christ would have us show them. Whether it's being sensitive to God's voice and available when God speaks, just as Simeon was. Whether it's keeping our minds in a state of openness to receive or hear from God through the Holy Spirit, as Simeon did, who will show us many things others cannot see or understand, and so prepare ourselves always by living in God's will in righteousness and devotion. Whether it is always giving God praise and worship, especially in times of challenge, because I don't believe that Simeon apparently died at the age of 360 years old. And I don't believe that his life was without trial, without test, without challenges. But remember, Jesus has told us that in this world you're going to have trouble. But don't worry about it. Because I have overcome, you also will overcome. And I can imagine each day that Simeon goes to the temple, he might have people mocking and jeering. Oh, you're going to the temple again? You're going to see Jesus? Yes, he must have. And we likewise, when we are tempted. But you know, I can imagine Simeon being filled with the Holy Spirit. It says, God, you wrap your Holy Spirit around me. Give me the strength that I need for these temptations, for these jeerers, for these naysayers. We're going to get it. Yeah, we're going to get it. But if we rely on the Holy Spirit, rely on God's power to take us through, we will. We will survive. We will survive. Or whether it's always giving God praise and worship, especially, as I said, in these challenging times. And, you know, these times, we're facing personal challenges. We're facing financial challenges. We're facing spiritual challenges. We're facing social and emotional challenges. Whatever it is, the Holy Spirit will take us through it, just as he took Simeon through it. And whether it is speaking up about Jesus, his salvation, his love, and his eternal life at the end of it, that we can say like Simeon, Lord, now let thy servant depart in peace. This is the end of our Christian life, and this is how we must live it. Let's see Simeon as a great example of how we should live our lives in order to see Jesus in the end. Let us remember the way we walk with God, live our lives, will determine whether or not we see Jesus.
We trust that you've been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information or to follow up on what you've heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.